today.
John Edwards loses his power of persuasion. Should he do jail time? He's been indicted. And this is going to go further. In the meantime, big clashes along one Israeli border. What does it mean? How about that whole peace thing? Boy, the Middle East catches catch can. That's what it unfortunately is like. But what's our part in all of that here in these United States? We're going to talk about that, too, as well. And the E. coli outbreak, scary, some of what people have talked about as far as the kidney damage and the amount of people who have died, over 20 people dead from this E. coli outbreak that really slammed into Germany. But there's also somebody dead in Sweden as a result of that. Not anybody in the United States at this point. And how about the Connecticut Senate voting to decriminalize marijuana? Do you think in our lifetime marijuana will be decriminalized across the board in these United States? A lot of people say, including some law enforcement folks, why not decriminalize it? If you do that, you can tax it and make more money, and then all the problems that we have with these deficits in some of these states, it could be solved by marijuana. I'm going to say, I don't think that happens, at least not in my lifetime anyway. You might disagree. 800-259-5791. So if you just tuned in, this is how we roll on America Tonight. We zig and zag all over the place. I hope you had a great weekend. This is the start of yet another week here in the beginning of June. June already. Whew. My, the time flies. Let's take a couple right from the get-go. Let's go to Shelly in Buffalo. Hey, Shelly, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing good. Yet another week. You know, another day above ground is a good one for all of us.
Oh, praise God, I know. Excellent. I have a question. Well, I don't know. You were talking about how people are talking about everything's bad about themselves or everything's bad.
Yeah, let me explain that. Let me roll that back for people who didn't hear that. There was a poll that Newsweek did in the Daily Beast, and the great percentage of the people who took the poll are angry at things that are going on, especially when it comes to the economy, the 9.1% unemployment, the housing market where it's at, and marriage is crumbling because of that as a result of economic problems. And so 58% of the people who took that poll that Shelley's referring to said they were angry.
Yeah, and everyone I talk to always says something negative. Everybody. Even myself, I get into the habit where, oh gosh, economy this and economy that. And people forget what they have. What they do have at the moment, you know, and I think people need to focus on that. I'll give you an example. Yes, I wanted a TV and I couldn't afford it, and, you know, and I'm like complaining. I do have one. So I'm like, okay, so I went to the Salvation Army and got one for $7, you know, and people don't think, well, if you get a $50,000 house, then you're going to be happy. No, because you could lose that. No,
that's
an example. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? It's a state. Here's the thing. People are negative. You're right. And a lot of it is because of the pressure of money. Let's face it. But it depends on your philosophy. You're right. You know, there's an old adage about attracting what you want and being happy, hopeful, and grateful. And obviously, you're starting to see that. That, okay, if I want a TV,
yes,
I'll get one.
So
it's just cheaper. I'm not going to have a plasma TV, but I don't care. At least I have a TV and I can watch it.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I love it very much. I just got this a few days ago. And you know what? I saved money and maybe, you know what I mean? You get blessed later. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I think differently. Maybe, I don't know. I think. A lot of things that turn wrong in people's lives turn right. I mean, I don't know. you know, like those people in the floods, I know it's awful, they lost everything, but something better will come along, you know, something better will come along after that happens. I don't know, there's always a positive, and I think people need to see that, you know, and I think people should help each other, too. No, and so they can get back where they were before.
There you go. That's well said. Perfect way to end this. Shelley, that's the right attitude. Thanks for throwing in your two. There are a lot of negative things happening. Look at these tornadoes. Three more people dead. The death total is up to 141 in Joplin, Missouri. And sure, you can always go down that negative rabbit hole. It's easy. We do that often, right? But at some point, I think it's good to vent, but at some point you got to reel it back in and attract what you want. And, of course, it goes back. There's a zillion of these sayings that if you whatever you give, whatever you put out there is what you'll get back. And a lot of times when something disastrous happens in people's lives, then something boomerangs back. And, yeah, I agree. Although I'm not so sure that fits for the Boston Bruins as the Canucks now have a 2-0 edge on them. Speaking of that, let's go to Canada and Al. Hey, Al.
Yeah, hi, Kate. You know, the lead singer for U2, Bonehead or Bono or whatever the heck his name is, he was walking down the street in Vancouver, right, hitchhiking. The lead singer for the richest man in rock, probably, walking down the street in Vancouver. He and his chauffeur were hitchhiking, and he got picked up by a player for the Edmonton Oilers, an NHL hockey player just happened to pick. Did you hear about that?
No.
He was is it Bono or Bono?
Bono.
Bono, and he was going to meet the Wedge, or what's the the Edge. He was going to meet Edge, and his limo broke down, and his cell phone had batteries that wore down, and he couldn't phone for another limo. So he and his chauffeur were hitchhiking, and the lead singer and the one hockey player, NHL hockey player, happened, and he gave him a free ticket to the U2 concert in Edmonton, and the hockey player had a ticket to the Vancouver Canuckleheads and the Boston Bruins hockey game, and he gave that away, and he went to the, but you know, I don't know why on earth the lead singer for U2 doesn't have a spare cell phone. You know, if I was making $10 million a concert, I think I'd have a spare cell phone to phone for another limo.
I know, I did. That's a crazy story. I didn't hear that, but yeah, I mean, if it breaks down and he's out of juice, what's he gonna do? Like anyone else.
No choice, I guess. But you know, and you know, a couple of days ago, I saw Celine Dion hitchhiking. Not only did I not stop to pick her up, I tried to run her down. She sings like a rusty hinge, but man, she's fast. Hey, Kate, have you ever been to a hockey game in Boston?
I have, at the Garden, yes.
The brand new arena?
No, the old one.
Well, yeah. Oh, the old one. Mm-hmm. I think they have a brand new arena, don't they?
They do, yes.
Yeah. Anyways, so Vancouver is going to have a little rougher time in Boston. But I got a quick comment about Afghanistan, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I would like to know how much foreign aid does the how much would you reckon that the U.S. is giving in foreign aid to Afghanistan? Probably in the billions, right?
Oh yeah, a million a even to have a soldier over there.
I wish somebody would find out how much they're getting from Saudi Arabia and all those countries that have trillions of dollars, those Muslim countries that have trillions of dollars of petrodollars. How much are they getting from Abu Dhabi and Qatar and United Arab Emirates and all those Gulf states?
Yeah. Touche, my friend. Speaking of Afghanistan, what does Robert Gates have to say on the way out about Afghanistan? That's next.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
After 70 years, it's what he goes there for. Still unlock the door. All around him, Christmas signs and sleep. And through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
And nooks and crannies in between, even beyond the borders. A couple of ways to get to the show. You can hit us up through the website, of course, americatonight.net. I'm waving right now because we actually have a webcam if you check us out on Pal Talk. Also, we have Twitter and Facebook, and click on the email and you can get to us that way, right into our mailbag with whatever your thoughts on any of the stuff that we're talking about. Any and all of it is up for grabs. How about that? I mentioned Afghanistan, and you know, the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, has gone through two presidents, served through two presidents, Bush and Obama. He's out, or he's gone, he's retiring. And in instead is Leon Panetta, who's running the CIA. And as you all know, stepping into Panetta's shoes at the CIA is General Petraeus. So a little switching going on. Gates is quick to wrap up Afghanistan and looking at Afghanistan and where we're headed and ultimately the exit, because the exit's supposed to begin in July. It can't happen, I think, soon enough for plenty of people, including me. I raise my hand to that one. I'm incredibly supportive of the troops. Can never do enough. Thank them enough, help them enough, as far as I'm concerned. And it just seems that so many of the people that give their lives, their limbs, their marriages to this war come back to not a lot of hope. And that's discouraging. Although there are more efforts to correct that and to correct that loneliness, that sadness, that overwhelming, what they've seen in their heads and bringing it back, that keeps them up at night and leads to too many suicides. There's a big correction starting to happen with the military, I think, across the board, and other organizations, frankly, just reaching out. So that is positive momentum. That's positive. Anything we can do to help the troops. But it's not positive to let them flounder there and risk lives for what? What is at the end of this? We keep asking about the end game. We've asked this president a million times, and we really don't get a clear answer on it, because every time something bubbles up again, meaning more people are killed, there's more disastrous consequences, then, and Hamid Karzai throws out his poison darts, the more that people scramble to try to figure out, well, what are we doing? Okay, we're going to withdraw some troops, but we're going to still be available in these areas. We're trying to train Afghanistan security people and police forces, and we're trying to use the blueprint of Iraq, which is completely different, the country of Iraq and Afghanistan. It's depressing to me, because I think when you invade a country, when you're there in that country, when you're supposedly giving aid, you're helping out, let's hope you leave it. Maybe this is my naivety. You leave it a better place. What happens in Afghanistan? Is it going to be a better place, or no, the country is 90-some% illiterate. It's about surviving and thriving, where it's very tough. So if the Taliban's going to pump money to them, they're going to grab guns and do what the Taliban wants. Or is there something that's happening here that I'm just not seeing, or that we're just not hearing enough about? So here's what Secretary Gates had to say on Afghanistan and the exit.
The mix of the situation on the ground here, but also numbers that don't cause our allies to race for the exits because they think we are. We don't want the Afghans or any others in the region to think we're pulling up stakes and taking out of here.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The United States, the all-powerful number one superpower, at least still, once the United States does, quotes, pull out, and that's what he's saying, there's a mass exodus. It's going to be, you know, we're hitting the door. We're hitting the floor. We're getting out of here, too. I don't believe that that's what you're going to see, that people are going to say, oh, no, we're going to hang around. We're going to stay in. We're in this game. The Brits aren't saying that. The Australians, whoever, they're not saying, we're hanging in there, man. We're just going to hang in as you pull out all your troops. No. I guess you had to put it out there. However, it's very unlikely that that's the story that we're going to see. No opt-out for the opponents, right? Or for the allies. No opt-out in this case. Yeah. We'll watch. We'll watch from the sidelines and hope the best for the guys and the women who are giving way too much of themselves to, frankly, a losing proposition. Because that's what it looks like from my point of view. We turn to what we're dealing with in this country, meaning, and I always say this, what's the buzz in your backyard? You're listening to me right now in Jellyfish Land, the Space Coast, which I love, so near and dear to my heart. There's nothing better than bored and going to Cocoa Beach. There isn't. Or watching a launch, I'm sure. I haven't had the pleasure of doing that, but I can imagine, I've heard. But whether you're there, you're listening to me in the great state of Connecticut, or in Illinois, or in Vermont, or in Lexington, Kentucky, or any of the other places where we're broadcasting to, listening to me, however you're listening to me, you have to be concerned about the deficit. Why? I know Greece is different. Smaller. I get it. But you look at what's happening with this Greek prime minister, Papandreou. I think he needs to get on a boat and go away for a while. He's starting this campaign, and it started now. He started on Monday to somehow secure a new bailout. Because what's happened is they've had so many budget cuts, and they've had so many deals with the European Union and, oh, yeah, IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that you could sound the alarm bells. 80,000 Greeks, 80,000, crammed a little Athens square to vent their anger over the nation's dire, dire straits that they're in. Because the government is trying to prevent Greece from defaulting on its debt. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The cabinet is going to discuss the medium. They're calling them the medium-term economic plan, which will impose $937 billion of extra austerity this year alone. This is just the first stage. Watch this from afar and take a deep breath, because this is not where we want to be. I know comparing Greece to the United States, like apples and oranges, in a way, but do we want to end up like that? How many people are going to jam into squares across the United States? Oh, I can only imagine. And really, we're dangerously close to some stupid moves on what's happening with our monetary system. It's very scary, and people have no idea what's about to slap us in the face. I mean, really, no idea whatsoever, and how this economy is on such thin ice. The second wave of housing that's going to collapse that people, I just think, don't even realize. Now, the White House is trying to minimize what happened heading into the weekend with a bad jobs report. Not good, and not necessarily a surprise. When you get the bad jobs reports, the market usually takes a little bit of a tumble. They say that there has been a tilt over the past 6 months in new jobs, and actually that's a better indicator of the nation's employment picture than a gloomy report that was released on Friday. And what did the report say? Slow growth ahead. So 54,000 jobs were added in May. That's the fewest in 8 months, by the way. And the unemployment rate is 9.1%. 9.1%. That is not a good number, no matter how you slice it, right? And you think of everything that makes us tick. In your neck of the woods, in my neck of the woods, what are you paying for groceries? What are you paying for gas, even though it's dipped down a little bit? How are you surviving tax increases? All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Iowa and a levee that was broke and ultimately the flooding that ensued there, and a couple of other odds and ends. Hang with us.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325, or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
It must be that the planets have aligned and summer is getting into full swing, because something unusual has happened here at ofthefield.com. We're having a sale. That's right, the Happy Summer Sale. Oh, we know it's not the official beginning of summer, but don't tell the wild food that. We are offering site-wide savings even on our already discounted packages. The best time to really learn, identify, and experience wild food is now in North America. It's all over by Monday, June 6th, so head on over to ofthefield.com. If you really don't have access to the net, call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's 1-888-513-2837, and they'll take care of you. Just use coupon code FREEFOODNOW, all one word, to save on your entire shopping cart. Do it now. The season will likely be over before we have another sale. Even catalog customers can play by writing Free Food Now on the top of your order form. Figure the shipping before taking 10% off the merchandise total, then add it up and send it in for free food savings. At offthefield.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Sadly, I always say here on America Tonight that it wouldn't be a show if we didn't have some kind of disaster to talk about. Well, I mean, after all, we do have a big country, and Mother Nature often has a wicked, sad sense of humor. I wouldn't even call it humor, actually. Mother Nature just wreaks her wrath on us, unfortunately. But in this case, it's a little bit different. 600 people in southwest Iowa were ordered to evacuate their houses. And this is because the Missouri River breached a levee across the border. And that evacuation covered nearly half of the town of Hamburg. And they want, boy, they're saying, you got to get them out. Because we're talking about way too many people. Most of the people on the south side is where that hit of that city. It was over 1,000 people had to get out within a 24-hour period. It's like what I always say. It's just a gentle reminder that you don't know what's going to happen when it comes to flooding, or look at this, it's a levee that is breached. Are you prepared when you have to hurry and scramble and get the family together and get your stuff out of there? Are you prepared to do that? And so often people aren't, quotes, emergency prepared. They don't have some bag packed with stuff they can grab and just get out of there in case they're somewhere else and they got to get in and get out or whatever. Here's what General Hill had to say about the Iowa flooding.
We have launched a Black Hawk helicopter that will be working, lifting sandbags into the area, probably using 1,000-pound sandbags. This ball developed and was about an inch or an inch and a half in diameter. Ball, for those that don't know, is a small stream of water that will be coming out because of the pressure on the other side of the levee, and that breaks through and comes out on the dry side of the levee. Shoots out like a small geyser.
All right, I think he explained it. It's interesting about the helicopters. In what General Derek Hill was saying, he's, by the way, the head of the Iowa Department of Homeland Security. Who knew that they could drop all those bags? they dropped about a 1,000-pound sandbags on the levee. And they said it was just too dangerous to use ground crews, and they don't, you know, because they didn't know how long it was going to take. And they say they've done it before. They don't know that it's going to work, but they're hoping it's going to work. So at least they're doing that. Anybody from that area, it has to make them feel a little bit secure that they're trying, they're doing something with the thing that boil, that leak that shoots out like the geyser. They say it was 1 inch to 1.5 inches in diameter. Whew. How about that? And the crews couldn't repair it. So the levees along the Missouri River have been weakened by the high levels, similar to what we're talking about, you know, with the Mississippi River, how it's so swollen and ultimately what's happened there. Now, the Missouri River is supposed to rise about 8 feet to 1,000 and change feet above sea level by June 14th. And maybe some of those people, because they knew that was happening, maybe they were able to evacuate a little bit sooner, because how do you protect the city then when you're talking about this, the levee? It'd be pretty tough. I mean, that's a tough situation to control, certainly. But maybe the sandbags help. The Corps is saying the river is probably going to crest 27 feet higher in Nebraska City, Nebraska, which is across the river from Hamburg. The flood stage is 18 feet. So you do the math. 18 feet, 27 feet or higher. Sunday afternoon, the river was at 23 feet already. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You just have to be, that's that emergency prepared situation. You just have to be prepared. All right, the Florida governor has, interestingly enough, put himself in another controversial situation. Rick Scott, on Sunday, found himself defending the legislation, the proposed legislation that's requiring adults applying for welfare assistance to undergo drug screenings. He's saying it's not right for the taxpayers to be paying for someone else's drug addiction, so they're going to increase personal responsibility for the people who are on the dole, so to speak, and accountability, because he's saying they don't want to be paying for people's drug habits, and they're finding that that's what's going on. Well, by saying, okay, you're going to go on welfare, you're taking a drug test, what do you think? The flags are up everywhere. The ACLU of Florida has already filed a suit against him over another thing with drug testing, requiring government employees to undergo random drug tests. And what the ACLU is saying is that he's giving legitimacy to a stereotype that's been in the country for a couple of decades, that all welfare people are a bunch of drug abusers. Scott says that's not true. He just wants to make sure that the welfare money goes to disadvantaged kids, that's the primary people that you want to get it, the kids, and give people an incentive not to use drugs. So he signed this measure on June 1st, and he called it the right thing for taxpayers, and that law kicks in. So you can imagine, will it even kick in? It kicks in July 1st, and then what happens is the Florida Department of Children and Family Services will have to conduct the drug tests on adults applying for temporary assistance for needy families program. That's what it's called. And they would be responsible for the cost of the screening, which they would get in their assistance if they qualify. So the test is not a free test. They got to pay for the screening too. I guess that would be a way to weed people out, because if they know if they were going to fail the test and they had to pay for it, they're not going to want to pay for it. So you can imagine the controversy. Then there's other people who say, well, why not? Why shouldn't you have those screening tests? You're asking for money. We want to help, but we want to get it to the right people. And we find that that's not going in that direction. So we're going to put this law out there. So if you want it, you're going to have to take the test. But here's the deal. The governor of Florida had a company that he co-founded. They operate walk-in urgent care clinics in Florida, and they count drug screenings, that's one of the things that they do, right? So he transferred his ownership, it's called the Solandic Corporation, to a trust in his wife's name and said the company wouldn't contract for state business. And he's selling his interest, his family's interest in the company, and they say it's going to be sold in a couple of weeks. So they say there's no conflict because right away people are trying to poke as many holes into it as they can. If he's, when he's this controversial and red hot, they're going to try to find ways to trip him up. And that was one of the things that they were looking at, but it, he says it's all gone by then. So there's no way that there would be any perceived, okay, I'm trying to get the drug test done by the company that I'm going to benefit from. So I think that's sort of a non-issue. The real issue is drug testing people on that want to go on welfare. Is it fair or is it foul? So that if somebody tests positive, would they be banned? They would be banned for a year from benefits. The one thing to this is, I agree with him that you want the kids to get the money, and there's concern about that, that where's, okay, are the kids getting the money? They, you have X amount of kids, they're going to school hungry, whatever. You don't want that, so you want the money to go to the kids. But if the person, the parent, is cut off from the aid, then what happens to those kids? The ACLU, I think what's going to happen here is that it's not going to kick into a law, but it's going to create a discussion about whether or not this is something that's fair, whether it's, or is it, unconstitutional, or is it wasting taxpayer money because now it gets so challenged in the courts. But, you know, the only concern that, the biggest concern that I would have would be what happens to the kids? What happens to the kids who are stuck in the middle of this? But would they, you know, would they be shafted anyway by the parent? I mean, drugs are certainly destructive. I mean, if somebody's hooked and it's a heroin fix, a crack fix, a meth fix, that's the worst, then, you know, they're stuck in this. But at the same time, I don't see how he's going to get this through anyway. I think that the ACLU and I think that others that are going to throw in on this, I think it's going to be thrown out. I don't think it's ever going to see the light of day. It does open up the discussion for, you know, okay, you want it, that's fine, but you've got to take this. And, you know, there's been a long struggle about drug testing and the, you know, is it illegal? Is it fair? Should you, you know, have to take a drug test? And the answer is in a, you know, public company, it's up to them. And if you don't want to do it, you don't work for them. And certainly there are many places that drug test. And then there are many other places that, don't drug test. It just depends on the company and their philosophy, I guess. And I was thinking this. I was thinking, have I ever had to take a drug test? And the answer is yes. It's been so long ago, but I had to take a drug test for a television company. They gave it to everybody. And I was kind of taken aback. I was kind of surprised by that. And there had been some controversy just among the television people, but they all submitted to it to do it. In the case of welfare, different. You're getting money from the state, but it's never going to see the light of day. It's just going to be serious water cooler bust. I don't see how it goes through. Stay with us. Coming up next, We Can Count.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need My Pillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, My Pillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. My Pillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. My Pillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. My Pillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed. Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids. The original since 1976.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Time for another version of We Can Count. Speaking of We Can Count, how about We Can Count Our Blessings? Did you hear about this fire that ripped up the house of country star Trace Atkins? Ooh, it was chilling to hear his wife's account of pulling up and seeing the house on fire and being worried because their three daughters and dogs were inside, along with a nanny, I guess. And what they're saying is that the fire broke out Saturday afternoon, and the good news is, you gotta love your firefighters, they were there within minutes, but it was a total loss. It's a house that was in the suburb south of Nashville, but, you know, and then there was an outpouring of people seeing if he was okay and all that sort of stuff, and he said he was grateful because, and here's your number, his three daughters and his two dogs were just fine. And that was what they were worried about in seeing that from afar. The concern was over the kids because they were there by themselves. And or they were there with a nanny, but they were there in the house. And he did say something interesting. It goes back to that preparedness thing that you have to, he was urging people to practice some kind of fire safety, because you realize this is never going to happen to you, and then when it does happen to you, do your children know what to do if you're not there? How do you make sure that everybody's out? What's the pattern? What do you do in that particular situation? And no matter how young they are or how much older they are, what is it that they're going to do? Just get out, not grab a bunch of stuff or whatever. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and he says he's going to do PSAs to alert people to that fact, I guess. Somebody asked him that afterwards, but the good news is the three kids were fine. All right, we turn to the movies. How about a little old movie called X-Men First Class? Did you see it over the weekend? Check this out.
The real enemy is out there. I feel their guns moving in the water, targeting us. Go ahead, Charles. Tell me I'm wrong.
So X-Men First Class raked in $56 million. It's a prequel chronicling the beginning of the comic book Mutants, and it has a smaller audience, I guess, than the big franchise. But that's pretty good, I'd say. $56 million? The original X-Men that opened 11 years ago. Wow, that's been around 11 years. The original one raked in $54.5 million. But if you did the equivalent, because 11 years, it'd be like $80 million. Still, to just shows you the popularity of that, to come up with something that is a prequel and look at the money. The previous weekend's top money, The Hangover 2, was in second place with $32.4 million, but the total, they knew this was going to be a hit. There's something about this cast and the whole idea. The total so far, $186.9 million. I'd say that's pretty good, because whatever they're paying, or whatever they paid those actors and to cut it and all that sort of stuff, I guarantee they're going to make that money back. I am certain of it. Here's one that is really making money. The Bridesmaids movie was fifth this weekend. It's been out for a couple of weeks. It's up to $12.1 million. I think I mentioned that I saw that movie. And it's written by Kristen Wiig, who's on Saturday Night Live and another comedian. But I think that's kind of a surprise hit. Not that they didn't think it might find an audience, but it's total haul. It's, you know, when you cross over the 100 million, that's pretty good, especially for that kind of movie. It's up to $107.3 million. But here's a crazy thing, since we're on the number deal. The Fast Five, that's a sequel that works. They're still, they've been out for weeks now. They're still raking in a few million here and there. It's past the 200 million mark. So there was enough interest in the Fast Five that it's domestic, and that's just domestically, that it's up to that big of a number. That's pretty impressive, I'd say. I've seen the first two, but I haven't seen the others. I don't know if this one would be any good or not. One of the cool things to do, though, is to go to the Universal lot in California, and they have a little sequence that you see if you go on the tour, if you go on the movie lot tour of the original Fast and the Furious, the set, a chunk of the set, and it's pretty cool what they do. I don't want to give it away just in case there may be a handful of you that someday decide to go to Universal. You know, we were talking about fires and Trace Atkins and what happened there, and there was also a major, major fire in Arizona. And I mean a wildfire that is just claiming so much chunk of land. So far, 144 acres of prime forest, they say, are gone. I mean, it's a major wildfire in eastern Arizona. Prime piece of real estate, certainly for the livestock that they have that they've had to remove. So that's sad for the people that make their living doing that. Absolutely. This was a sad story that let's hope teaches somebody a lesson to, you know, let people know where they are. A day after police found the pickup truck that belonged to a missing Iditarod musher, the cops and friends said they still had very few clues as to the disappearance of Melanie Gould. She's somebody who's been on the Iditarod Trail sled dog race. She's done it seven times, and she's missing. She didn't turn up to work on Tuesday. She left her dogs. and laundry. So they don't understand what could have happened here, especially finding the pickup truck along a highway that is northwest of a small town out near Mount McKinley where she lives. They say they don't suspect foul play, but they're very concerned because she doesn't, you know, do that. She doesn't just not show up, and she doesn't tell anyone what's happening. So there's a concern. So they've even started a Facebook page called Have You Seen Melanie Gould, because it's too far out of character, and they have flyers, and they're printing them all over the place and putting them up all over the place. But that's kind of creepy. I think once they found the truck, I mean, they're saying it's not foul play, but I think it's odd that she disappeared and didn't turn up at any of the jobs. So let's hope that there's not a horrible ending to that story. When you hear that and you hear of a desolate area and especially finding the ride, ooh. All right, let's end on a happy note. For people who think it's crazy the kind of money that others spend on silly things, the Italian fashion house Prada, they say they could raise $2.6 billion in an initial public offering in Hong Kong. And Prada's $2.6 billion IPO value is incredible. I mean, that shows that the price is somewhere in the neighborhood of $36 to $48 a share for the IPO. And it's being priced at 27 times over the projected 2011 earnings at the top end of the range. And what they're talking about is funding and renovating one of their fastest growing markets. And can you imagine where the fastest growing market is? Who wears Prada stuff, Prada shoes? Well, that would be Asia. Everything is happening in Asia. A lot of interesting things are happening there, and including this Prada deal. In Singapore, they say about 60 investors and fund managers went to a luncheon that was put on by Prada's chief executive. In other words, wink, wink, luring them in to what could be theirs. So China's going to account for 20% of the global luxury market, they say, by 2015, with spending in the country nearly tripling to $27 billion by that year, from around $10 billion in 2009. As a caller said to us, I think it was Donna Wyoming, China's a communist country. How come they have so many billionaires? What's up with that?